Imagine you stumble across this raw, completely unfiltered transmission from, well, basically the very near future.
Right.
It's not a polished corporate press release or anything like that. It's a chaotic, super technical WhatsApp group chat.
Yeah, dated April 29, 2026.
Exactly. And this log is from a group based in Singapore. They call themselves the Agentic Builders Collective.
That's a great name.
It really is. And we had this exact chat log sitting right in front of us today, complete with all these diagnostic screenshots and, honestly, photos of some genuinely wild physical server setups.
Oh, the hardware photos are incredible.
They are. So the mission for this deep dive is to take you inside this cutting-edge world of local AI deployment.
Unpacking all of it.
Yeah. We are going to decode why developers are suddenly just hoarding physical hardware, how these AI agents are fundamentally fracturing the internet as we know it, and you know what this shift actually means for your own relationship with technology.
Which is huge.
It is. Because here's where it gets really interesting. The great paradox of the modern internet is that as artificial intelligence gets unfathomably smarter up in the cloud, these cutting-edge developers are desperately trying to drag it back down into heavy, power-hungry metal boxes sitting in their own offices.
Yeah, it is a massive structural U-turn. I mean, for the last decade, the assumption across the entire tech industry was that the future lived entirely in the cloud.
Right, like local servers were a relic.
Exactly. We just assumed local hardware was completely dead. So to understand why that assumption is collapsing right now, we need to trace the physical reality of these systems.
Okay, where do we start?
We will start by looking at the intense constraints of the hardware itself, you know, the chips and the power grids.
The actual metal.
Right. And from there, we have to look at the existential business reasons that are driving this shift back to local servers.
Which is a crazy story on its own.
It really is. And finally, we will explore what happens when these machines are actually turned on and developers unleash these autonomous agents that are currently overwhelming the very architecture of the web.
Man, the hardware situation alone is fascinating because the chat log kicks off with this intense debate about the literal engines driving the AI revolution.
Yeah, the chips.
Right. And I mean, you can't really talk about AI hardware without talking about NVIDIA.
Impossible. They're everywhere.
Yeah. And one of the chat members, Ian Chu, he uses this brilliant analogy to explain NVIDIA's absolute stranglehold on the market.
I love this analogy.
It's so good. Yeah. He says writing code for different computer chips is like speaking to Martians and Jovians.
Right.
Like if you spent 10 years figuring out how to speak Martian, you can't just take a quick flight to Jupiter and expect anyone to understand a word you're saying.
Exactly. And, you know, NVIDIA has basically been teaching the entire software world to speak Martian since, what, 2007?
Yeah, forever in tech years.
They created a software layer called CUDA.
CUDA, right?
Yeah, right. And to put it simply, CUDA is the translator. It allows a developer to easily convert their AI concepts into instructions that NVIDIA's physical hardware can actually execute.
Okay, making it run.
Exactly. And because they launched it over a decade before competitors like Apple's MLX or, you know, AMD's alternatives, CUDA just became the default language of AI.
The absolute standard.
Right. So when a researcher builds a new AI model today, they build it to speak CUDA.
Yeah.
If a developer tries to take that exact same model and run it on a competitor's chip,
they can't just drag and drop it.
Not at all. They're going to spend days, maybe weeks, rewriting the translation layer just to get the system to even boot up.
That sounds like a nightmare. But, well, the developers in this chat are hitting a massive physical roadblock with NVIDIA anyway.
Yeah, the supply chain.
Exactly. Getting your hands on this hardware is becoming financially and logistically impossible.
The prices are insane.
The group breaks down the numbers, and they are literally eye-watering. Like, a top-of-the-line gaming GPU, the RTX 5090, costs around $5,000 to $6,000 just for the card.
Just the card.
Just the one component. And if you are an enterprise looking for the true heavy hitters, like the A100 or H100 chips, you are looking at $10,000 to $30,000 each.
If you can find them.
Right. That's assuming you can even find a supplier who has them in stock, which is rare.
Yeah. And the bottleneck isn't just the crazy price tag either. It really comes down to a specific architectural limitation called VRAM or video RAM.
Okay. Break that down for us.
Think of VRAM as the AI's short-term working memory.
Got it.
An AI model is essentially just a massive matrix of mathematical probabilities.
These are the parameters everyone always talks about, right?
Exactly, the parameters. And to function quickly, the AI needs to load all of those parameters into its VRAM all at once.
Okay.
So that $6,000 RTX 5090, it has 32 gigabytes of VRAM.
Which sounds like a lot.
All right, in the gaming world, that is phenomenal. You can run anything.
Okay.
But in the AI world, 32 gigs is barely enough to squeeze in a small 30 billion parameter model.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And even then, you have to heavily quantize it.
Meaning you have to shrink it down.
Exactly. Quantizing basically rounds down the complex math the AI uses. It shrinks its brain size so it fits on the physical chip, but at the cost of making it, you know, a bit dumber.
So you're losing quality just to make it fit.
Right. You certainly can't run a frontier level trillion parameter model on that card.
Which brings us to the most surprising underdog in this entire chat log.
Apple.
Yes. These hardcore PC building developers are completely geeking out over Apple.
Specifically, the Mac Studio.
Right, the Mac Studio. They point out that for about $15,000, which is, you know, less than the cost of three of those RTX 5090s, you get a Mac Studio with 512 gigabytes of unified memory.
And that word is key, unified.
Exactly. The crucial phrase is unified. The memory is all in one massive contiguous pool.
Which changes everything.
It really does.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with the programming nightmare of chopping a massive AI model into tiny pieces and trying to coordinate its brain across multiple different graphics cards.
Right.
They're literally running massive 405 billion parameter Llama 3 models locally on a Mac.
Yeah, Apple essentially sidestepped the raw computing power race and just offered massive accessible memory capacity instead.
It's a totally different strategy.
It is. And there is a much more visceral constraint driving this conversation too, electricity.
Oh man, the power draw.
Right. One developer recounts trying to run dual RTX 5090s in an office setting.
Yeah.
The contractor warned them that the setup draws over 2,000 watts.
It's like running a heavy-duty space heater at max blast.
Exactly. If they ran it at full capacity, it could literally melt the wiring and blow the electrical circuits in the entire building.
That is terrifying.
To run these NVIDIA rigs safely, you practically need to bring in an electrician to run dedicated high amperage lines.
Just to plug in your computer.
Yeah. And the Mac Studio, by comparison, it draws roughly 200 to 300 watts.
Okay, let's unpack this. If buying and powering a massive 5090 GPU is so expensive and requires you to literally rewire your house, why wouldn't these developers just rent space on the cloud like everyone else?
It's the totally logical question to ask.
Right. I mean, AWS, Google Cloud, they have entire server farms for this. Why are they enduring this physical hardware nightmare to keep a box on their desk?
It is the obvious solution, and it actually brings us to a critical pivot in the WhatsApp chat. Another user asks that exact same question.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the response from the group reveals that the cost and the electricity are entirely secondary concerns.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The core driver of this local hardware obsession is security. It's the absolute necessity of the on-premise server.
Okay, the chat log gets very real here. A user named Gaurav Manik explains his daily reality, and it paints a super clear picture.
Yeah, his situation is intense.
He says his company works with highly sensitive patent data, proprietary chemical formulas, and clinical studies.
Extremely confidential stuff.
Exactly. And he points out that standard cloud non-disclosure agreements are virtually useless for protecting that level of intellectual property.
Because the risk is just too high.
Right. If a proprietary chemical formula accidentally gets absorbed into a public cloud model's training data,
which happened,
and then it gets spit out to a competitor who is just querying that same model that is an existential threat, the company simply ceases to exist.
Yeah, what's fascinating here is the sheer operational inefficiency these businesses are willing to tolerate just to guarantee that security.
It's wild.
Gaurav actually admits that their expensive on-premise hardware has an average utilization rate of roughly 2%.
2%?
Yeah. They are paying top dollar for these incredibly powerful machines, and they just sit completely idle 98% of the time.
That would get you fired anywhere else.
Oh, absolutely. In a traditional IT department, a 2% utilization rate is a catastrophic failure of resource management.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world of high-stakes AI, they are happily paying that premium for the peace of mind that their data is physically air-gapped from the public internet.
They are essentially building digital panic rooms.
That's exactly what it is.
And to operate within these constrained, air-gapped environments, they've engineered this entirely new workflow. They call it inverted intelligence.
I love this concept.
It's a fascinating division of labor. Basically, instead of using one massive AI model to handle a complex task from start to finish, they split the job.
Right.
They use the giant, incredibly capable cloud models like a GPT-5 or a Claude for the broad, low-risk orchestration.
The planning phase.
Exactly. Then, for the highly sensitive tasks that actually touch the proprietary data, they use those smaller, highly quantized local models running on their secure servers.
Like Qwen 3.6 or Gemma 4.
Right, the ones they can fit on their local machines.
The architecture is just brilliant in its paranoia. I mean, the cloud model does the structural thinking. It maps out the plan, but it never actually sees the sensitive data itself. It just writes the framework of the instruction.
It's just the skeleton.
Exactly. And those instructions are then passed down into the air-gapped secure zone, where the smaller local model executes the specific task using the company's private database.
You know, it reminds me of a corporate hierarchy.
How so?
Like, you bring in a brilliant, highly paid outside consultant that is your cloud model.
Right, right.
The consultant comes into the boardroom, they draw up a master strategy on the whiteboard, and then they are immediately escorted out of the building. They are never allowed near the actual company vault.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
And when it's time to actually open the vault and apply that strategy to the company's gold bars, you hand the consultant's blueprints to your trusted, maybe slightly less visionary, in-house assistant. That's your local model.
Right.
The assistant isn't a strategic genius, but they can follow the blueprints flawlessly, and you know for a fact they aren't going to run off with the gold.
Exactly. And the industry has recognized this massive demand for these trusted in-house assistants.
Of course they have.
Companies are desperate for secure local hardware, which means an entirely new market has emerged to sell them turnkey solutions.
Everyone wants to make a buck.
Everyone wants a plug-and-play AI server rack.
Which leads to a genuinely amusing moment in the chat log.
The conference photos.
Yes. So there is a major technology conference happening in Singapore called Millipore Tech X, and one of the developers in the chat uploads photos straight from the convention floor.
It's quite the setup.
There is a booth showcasing these sleek, towering black server racks just packed with Mac Studios and Mac Minis, all glowing with these intense blue LEDs.
Looking very futuristic.
Very. But the kicker is a promotional poster from the vendor. They're a company called Novel Engineering.
Spelled with a K.
Right, K-Novel. They photoshopped their server rack into this primitive, rocky landscape with chimpanzees reaching out to touch it.
It is so dramatic.
It is a direct, unironic homage to the monolith from the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, the visual messaging is anything but subtle.
Not at all.
And Novel Engineering was making these incredible claims at this booth. They advertised that this massive rack of enterprise AI hardware was running off a single standard wall socket.
Which is crazy.
And that it required zero active liquid cooling remaining entirely silent.
Which sounds completely impossible based on what we just discussed about those 2,000 watt power draws melting office circuits.
Right, it doesn't add up.
So a chat member named Gaurav K decides to investigate.
He calls their bluff.
He totally does. He goes up to the Novel booth and starts interrogating the sales reps on their network optimization and compute metrics.
Getting into the weeds.
And the illusion crumbles. They finally admit that the entire monolith is essentially a stage prop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, only one single Mac Studio inside that massive rack is actually plugged in and running the AI. The rest of the machines were just sitting there, completely disconnected.
They were just metal bricks.
Yep. The chat group instantly nicknames the company Novel Marketing.
That's hilarious. But, you know, while the booth was essentially a trade show parlor trick, the underlying concept they were faking is actually one of the most critical technological breakthroughs in this entire document.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Other developers in the chat confirm that true distributed inference, actually linking these machines together, is now a reality.
So they aren't faking the tech, just that specific display.
Right. And it relies on a protocol called RDMA over Thunderbolt 5, which Apple released in February 2026.
Okay, let's unpack that, because Thunderbolt is just the cable I used to plug my monitor into my laptop.
Right, it's pretty standard.
So how does a monitor cable build an AI supercomputer?
Well, the magic is in the acronym RDMA, or Remote Direct Memory Access.
Okay.
Normally, when two computers talk to each other over a network, the data has to pass through both of their central processing units.
The CPUs?
Exactly. The CPUs act like traffic cops, inspecting every single packet of data, which creates a massive bottleneck.
It slows everything down.
Right. Well, RDMA removes the traffic cop entirely. It allows one Mac to reach directly across that Thunderbolt 5 cable and read or write to the memory of another Mac, bypassing the CPU entirely.
Wow.
Yeah, it achieves a staggering throughput of 30 gigabytes per second.
So it's like breaking down the walls between a row of separate apartments so the residents can just share one massive open floor plan.
That's a great way to picture it.
You aren't limited by the memory of a single machine anymore. You can daisy chain four or five Macs together, and they share a single cognitive space.
Exactly.
You bypass the NVIDIA ecosystem completely,
Yeah.
utilizing Apple's unified memory to create a machine capable of running those trillion-parameter models all without needing a $1 million data center.
It democratizes the whole process.
It really does. So we've established the physical reality, the hardware constraints, the paranoia driving the local server boon, the Thunderbolt
The
connections.
foundation.
Right. But what are these machines actually doing all day? When you read further into the chat and look at the remaining diagnostic images, the reality is that these developers aren't just running chatbots.
Yeah, not at all.
They are unleashing autonomous AI agents onto the web.
This is the critical evolution. It's moving from AI as a tool you consult to AI as an entity that actively works on your behalf.
It's doing things.
Right. And the developers in the group are highly opinionated about the nuances of the models they use for these agents. They contrast a model called Codex 5.5.
Which one user says is so efficient it is literally running his life.
Yeah, running his life. They contrast that against Claude Opus.
The description of Claude Opus is so specific and funny.
It is.
One user calls it a magical turtle who tires easily and is always scheming to take a 5-hour nap.
That's so brutal.
He notes that the quality of its reasoning is brilliant, but it is agonizingly slow, like 20 times slower.
Right.
But whether they are using the racehorse or the magical turtle, they are turning these agents loose on the internet.
Which causes chaos.
Total chaos.
Huh?
There is a screenshot in the sources of an automated brand scan report.
Oh, this one is rough.
A developer named An built an agent and pointed it at another user's hobby website. The site is speakreading.com,
Okay.
and the AI agent delivers an absolutely brutal roast of this guy's site. It scores the site a 15 out of 100,
Ouch.
and the automated summary formally categorizes the website as a, quote, commercially inert digital repository and a neglected hobbyist project.
The agent adopts this hyperclinical, devastatingly professional tone to deliver what is essentially just an insult.
It's so mean, but it's also hilarious.
It is, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, the implications of that kind of automated evaluation are profound.
How so?
While there is another image in the source file showing an agent-ready diagnostic scan of github.com.
Okay, GitHub, that's massive.
Right, GitHub is the global epicenter of software development. It's owned by Microsoft. And on this diagnostic scan, GitHub scores a 2 out of 100.
A two. That's failing spectacularly.
Miserably.
The dashboard in the screenshot is literally covered in red critical warnings.
Yeah.
It explicitly states that GitHub is overwhelmed and overworked by agents.
In all caps.
All caps. It failed 17 different automated checks. The bot access controls are listed as wide open, and the API discovery protocols are just returning endless error messages.
It's buckling under the pressure.
The final verdict on the scan simply reads, "Site status: absolute chaos, complete with a little frowny face emoji."
This reveals the core structural crisis of the 2026 internet.
Which is what exactly?
What the entire foundational architecture of the web, you know, the servers, the load balancers, the rate limits,
Yeah.
all of it was engineered for human traffic.
Okay, meaning people clicking things.
Exactly. A human user navigates to a page, reads a paragraph, maybe clicks a link a few seconds later. It is a slow, highly predictable cadence.
Right, we can only read so fast.
But an autonomous AI agent operates in a high-speed, relentless loop. It can fetch, parse, and execute actions thousands of times a second.
Oh, man.
So when you have thousands of developers unleashing their personal agents to automate their workflows, scanning repositories, scraping data, testing code, it acts like an unintentional denial of service attack.
They're accidentally taking down the sites they're trying to use.
Exactly. The infrastructure of sites like GitHub is physically crumbling under the weight of non-human traffic loops.
We've built an intricate highway system for bicycles, and suddenly a million autonomous semi-trucks merged onto the road at the exact same time.
That's a great analogy.
The pavement is just buckling. And as developers become completely reliant on these agents to navigate this chaos, they are hitting another kind of philosophical wall.
The soul file.
Yes. A user named Richard S. complains that his cloud-based bot lost its entire memory when his internet connection dropped.
Just wiped clean.
Yeah, the agent just instantly forgot everything they were working on together.
This sparks a crucial debate in the chat about the soul.md file, which is a concept central to the open source agent community.
Okay, soul.md.
Yeah, it's a file extension, because when you use a proprietary cloud agent, its context and its memory are locked on corporate servers.
Over at Google or Anthropic.
Right. If the session breaks, your agent's mind is wiped. But open source agents, however, maintain a local state file, often literally named soul.md.
That's kind of poetic.
It is. This simple text file contains the agent's memory, its learned preferences, and its ongoing task history.
Everything that makes it useful to you.
Exactly. And the collective realization in the group here is profound. I mean, if your personal AI agent is going to execute your daily workflow and represent you on the web, you cannot have its quote-unquote soul locked inside a single vendor's walled garden.
You don't own it then.
Right. That memory must be portable, and it must reside locally on your own hardware.
So what does this all mean? We started this journey looking at developers agonizing over melted office wiring just to run NVIDIA chips.
Yeah, the literal hardware fires.
We uncovered the paranoid high-stakes reality of inverted intelligence, where massive companies are hiding their most valuable trade secrets on local machines running at, like, 2% capacity.
The digital panic rooms.
Exactly. And we've seen a glimpse of a web that is being actively crushed by the autonomous agents these very machines are powering.
It's all connected.
It is. So for you, listening to this, the question becomes deeply personal. How is your own digital footprint prepared for this? Is your workflow or your company's website ready for a reality where the vast majority of your visitors aren't humans clicking mice, but hyper-fast, deeply critical AI agents?
It really is the defining architectural question of this era. I mean, if a monolithic tech giant like GitHub is failing its agent readiness scan with a 2 out of 100 because it cannot handle the deluge of autonomous traffic, what happens when millions of these personalized, locally hosted agents are turned loose on the entire consumer web?
It's gonna be a mess.
We may very well be looking at the imminent physical bifurcation of the internet itself.
Living in two.
Exactly. The web could split entirely into one slow, highly visual lane designed for human eyes and a massive, invisible, hyperspeed infrastructure lane built exclusively for the AI agents acting on our behalf.
Wow.
It brings us right back to the paradox we discussed at the start. The intelligence isn't just staying in the cloud anymore. It's been dragged back down into the physical boxes on our desks, and now those boxes are demanding an entirely new internet.